song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Although TV viewers probably remember Shirley Jones best for being part of the Partridge Family during the 1970s, her resume spans nearly six decades and includes starring roles in numerous Broadway musicals and feature films, an Oscar for a dramatic role, and parts in a number of other television shows. Next week, she'll be making her debut as a nightclub performer, headlining at Feinstein's at Lowe's Regency in what's being called An Evening of Story and Song. She's also recently released a CD called A Tribute to Richard Rodgers, and I'm very pleased that it brings her back to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Nice to be back.
And we opened with the Partridge Family theme song, Come On, Get Happy. Does it bother you that people who grew up during the 70s will always think of you as Shirley Partridge?
Well, I was told that was going to happen, and it did happen. You know, I was told not to do a television series because if it is successful, you'll be that character for the rest of your life. And I am, but that's okay because it was a wonderful 4.5 years.
But in your case, you'd had a really successful career in musical theater and Broadway and the movies by then. And was that your first major role on TV?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Yes, my first television series, you know. And as I said, that my agent said, don't do a series, Shirley, because if it is successful, you'll be that character and your movie career will you'll be finished.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, more or less.
So you had a great success and you killed your career.
Exactly, in the movies. But that's okay. It gave me a chance to stay home and raise my kids.
But other people have gone back and forth. There was a time in the early days of TV, we were talking about it earlier, when you were considered a traitor if you went from the movies or
that's
theater.
That's my point,
into
exactly.
TV.
And that's what they said. You know, managers, agents, and all said, don't do it. I mean, it was a big step down to do television then if you had been a movie actor. And so they said, don't do it. But it was great for me.
Now it's the beginning of a lot of careers.
That's exactly right.
And you've been on quite a few TV shows since, including Drew Carey's Older Love Interest and The Drew Carey Show. Does it matter to you whether you're performing in theater, the movies, or television?
No. I think I feel very blessed because I've had an extraordinary career. And, you know, it just kind of keeps going on. And I love that. As long as my health holds out and I can still do what I do, I love doing it.
Well, many performers have told me that although the Broadway schedule can be grueling, there's nothing like performing for a live audience. Do you enjoy being able to develop that rapport?
Yes, I love it. Matter of fact, 7 years ago, I came back to Broadway and did 42nd Street with my son Patrick. And it was the first time a mother and son ever appeared together in a Broadway musical. So we made Broadway history. And that, when I came back, I was very nervous about it, obviously, at the age I am. And he said, don't worry, Mom, I'll take care of you. And he did. And after about a month, I thought, wow, now I know why I love Broadway so much, because the camaraderie was so wonderful with everybody.
Well, earlier, of course, the Partridge Family was a mother and stepson.
That's right. David Cassidy is my stepson play.
You, as I mentioned, are making your debut as a nightclub performer, but you've done this sort of thing in theaters before, haven't you?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm booked through June now. I do concerts everywhere. But what we're talking about for me, the newness of a very small club, and I have now some new arrangements of Rodgers and Hart rather than – I'm still doing Rodgers and Hammerstein, but Rodgers and Hart arrangements, which are kind of jazzy and more bluesy. And, you know, I'll have wonderful rapport with the audience because it's so close.
Well, it does seem like a natural fit for you, singing and telling stories in an intimate setting.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the problem that there are just so few nightclubs these days? Well, perhaps 40 or 50 years ago, you would have the Latin Quarter and the Copacabana.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're gone. I mean, you know, I believe that even Michael Feinstein tried to open his club in California at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel on Hollywood Boulevard, and I think it lasted a couple of months, and that was it. We have nothing out there. Nothing. I mean, there's so few and far between.
Well, you've got to drive to it. The thing is here.
Yeah, exactly.
You can take the subway.
That's right, exactly. So, I mean, so it's going to be fun for me, you know, and hopefully there'll be more of these kinds of clubs. I think I love going to them too. I love watching people.
You said that you've adjusted the act a bit for the nightclub. Tell us about some of the songs you'll be performing. I'm assuming that we will get some of the things that are from the big musicals you've been in, like Oklahoma,
yes.
Carousel, South
Absolutely.
Pacific, The Music Man.
Yes, Music Man, Carousel, Oklahoma. I'll be doing stuff from those too. You know, that's what I normally do in my concert. But I'm also going to be doing now some kind of Rodgers and Hart numbers, you know, Where or When and This Can't Be Love, and, you know, some
softer,
more,
sweeter things.
Yeah, exactly. So there'll be a combination now.
Now, what about some of the songs you recorded with the Les Brown Orchestra on your tribute CD to Richard Rodgers? Is Les Brown still called the Band of Renown?
Yes, he's Junior now, you know, obviously. I'm not sure he uses that anymore, but he did all the arrangements. I did a Christmas album with him, and I did this tribute to Richard Rodgers.
Well, I noticed that on the CD, you're singing in a lower register than in the past.
Yeah, it's very different.
Your voice dropped a bit from your soprano.
Yeah, I mean, I can still sing high, but now I can sing low, which I couldn't do before. You know, now I have a much lower voice, and I can do all those kinds of songs, those bluesy songs that I wanted to do and wasn't able to do years ago.
So now you're closer to Sarah Vaughan.
That's right. Exactly.
Wasn't Richard Rodgers among the first professionals that you met in New York City to recognize and encourage your talent?
Well, they were my mentors. Rodgers, you know, I was the one and only person ever put under personal contract to Rodgers and Hammerstein. It was a 5-year contract, and it lasted like 3. But they were my mentors. They were my discoverers, so to speak.
Can you tell us about that meeting you had with them the first time you were 18 years old? You were auditioning for a part in the chorus of South Pacific.
Well, it was actually just, I didn't know it was South Pacific. It was, they had about 3 shows running on Broadway at that time. And about every 2 weeks, they would have what they call open auditions to replace chorus people because their shows lasted so long. And I just happened to be in New York on my way to college. You know, I was going to be a veterinarian, by the way, and even though I could sing and was always able to sing.
And you didn't have ambitions? Or is this
I had hoping to have a little fun? Yeah. And I knew this pianist in New York, and he said, let's go to this audition. I'd never been to a professional audition of any kind. I had worked at a place called the Pittsburgh Playhouse because I was raised near Pittsburgh and done little theater there, you know, but that was about it. Anyway, I went to the audition, and I sang for the casting director, and he said, could you wait a few moments? I want Mr. Rodgers to hear you personally. I didn't even know who Richard Rodgers was, to tell you the truth, at that time.
And then he said he wanted to bring in his partner.
And then he said, I want to bring my partner from home, right? Canceled the rest of the auditions for the day, my first professional audition anywhere. And then 3 weeks later, I was in my first Broadway show.
But also, as you say, he signed you to a personal management contract.
Yes.
Wasn't that rather unusual for somebody to sign a contract with a pair of songwriters?
Very, very unusual. Very
so what did
unusual.
It mean for you, that you were guaranteed work, or was
well,
that a trap?
Well, that's what it sounded like, because they had so many shows, you know, not only on Broadway, but traveling shows all over the country. And for me, it sounded like insurance, you know, because their music was so perfect for me and so right for me, and they felt I was right for them. And so
did it work out?
Yes, it did. Well, I did Oklahoma the movie under that contract. I did Oklahoma in Europe with Jack Cassidy playing my leading man. That's how we met. And all over Europe, came back and did Carousel, the motion picture Carousel.
My guest is Shirley Jones, who has done pretty much everything in show business except perform in a nightclub. And that will change next week when she headlines at Feinstein's at Lowe's Regency in an evening of story and songs. I imagine you'll be telling a lot of stories from your history. Will you be revealing how you came to be named Shirley?
Shirley Temple, of course.
So you were predestined to go into show business.
Yeah, my mother adored Shirley Temple, and that's how I got the name Shirley.
And did they expect you to start singing when you were very young?
No, but I did. I was the
did
youngest
you have
member.
Did you curls?
She tried a lot. I had the straightest hair in the world. She tried with a curling iron.
Your father owned a brewery. There was not, this
my
was
grandfather.
Not a show. Oh, but this was not a show business family.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I'm an only child. And we lived in a town of 800 people, Smithton, Pennsylvania. And there was the Jones Brewing Company. My grandfather, who came over from Wales when he was about 4, opened a hotel, little hotel there, and then he built the brewery. And my father was the youngest male in the family, 4 brothers, and they all worked the brewery, my father being the youngest.
And you thought your way out was to become a veterinarian.
I adored animals. Being an only child, animals were my sisters and brothers. You know, I raised everything from chickens to squirrels to, you know, rabbits, whatever. And, but I could sing. I was the youngest member of the church choir at age 6. So I was born singing. And it was a very mixed feeling, but everything changed, you know. I had no control. It changed for me anyway.
So Rodgers heard you. He brought in Hammerstein. They signed you. They put you in South Pacific?
Right.
In the chorus or something?
In the chorus, yeah. It was the last 6 months of the Broadway company. And Mary Martin was no longer in it. It was Martha Wright and George Britton. They were the leads. And I was one of the nurses, you know.
Well, then there was a big leap when you were chosen to play Laurie in the movie version of Oklahoma.
That's right.
So you suddenly found yourself in Hollywood.
Exactly. I went into a show called Me and Juliet, which was one of their shows, one of their lesser-known shows. And they sent me to Chicago in the show. I had the role of Juliet, which was a featured part. And while I was in Chicago, they called me and said they wanted to fly me to California to screen test for the role of Laurie in their motion picture.
Had you taken any acting lessons?
At the Pittsburgh Playhouse, which was a sort of a proving ground, you know, for young people. They had three theaters there, and they had teachers from Carnegie Tech in Pittsburgh. And, yes, I had taken dance and acting and singing lessons and all of that. But I was barely 18, you know. I mean, I had no real experience.
And here you, not only Oklahoma, then you start being cast in a whole bunch of movies. Of course, there was a certain amount of typecasting. You were always the fresh-faced, all-American girl next
door. That's right, exactly right.
So in The Courtship of Eddie's Father, Bedtime Story, Happy Ending, The Cheyenne Social Club.
Yeah, wonderful people I worked with.
April Love. But then how did you wind up being cast in Elma Gantry? It was a great performance, but had you developed real acting chops by that time?
Well, what I had done, you know, at that time they had those wonderful television shows like Playhouse 90 and Lux Video Theater, live television. And I did a Playhouse 90 with Red Skelton called The Big Slide. And I played an alcoholic sunshine girl in the Max Sennett era. And he was, down on his luck comic. And I had an Emmy nomination for that. And Burt Lancaster happened to see that show. And he's the one that fought for me to play Lulu Baines and Elmer Gantry. Because Richard Brooks, the director-writer producer, they were producing it together, had somebody else in mind. So Bert was my mentor there.
Because you could have played one of the church women.
That's right.
But Gene Simmons got that part. Yeah. You wound up being the prostitute.
Yes, exactly, which was great. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It gave me the longevity I've had in my career.
Because people realized that you could do more than
Sing.
And just be
the nice young
woman who got the part that Doris Day wasn't going to get.
That's exactly right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And did you feel trapped when you were getting those roles at the time, as wonderful as having a nice career was?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Because actually it stopped more or less because even being in the musicals, those incredible musical motion pictures that I did, they thought then if you were a singer, you were not an actress. They didn't put the two together for some reason. And that was a problem.
And now you're returning to singing because it was your first
love? Yeah. But I've always done concerts, always. I mean, I'm booked through the end of June doing concerts all over the country.
Well, you mentioned that you'll be singing some Rodgers and Hart, and we're going to go out with something by Rodgers and Hart, I Wish I Were in Love Again. Shirley Jones will be appearing at Feinstein's at Lowe's Regency at 540 Park Avenue. That's at 61st Street, the 15th through the 19th.
Right.
And I want to thank you so much for being with
us
today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The sleepless nights, the daily fights, the quick to bargain when you reach the heights. I miss the kisses and I miss the bites. I wish I were in love again. The broken dates, the endless waits, the lovely loving and the hateful hates. The conversation with the flying plates. I wish I were in love again. No more pain. Oh, no more strain. Now I'm sane.